All right, if you would tonight, I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, one in the Gospel of John and one in the Gospel of Luke. It is the same event, but just two different narratives of that. And that's one of the good things about the Gospel. You can get some different views of what takes place. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they have many, many of the same things listed. John does not list all the same things, but does some of them. John's a little bit different than the other three. And in John chapter number 21, I want to read the account here of verse number 3 that Peter says, "I go fishing." Peter is that self-willed individual that we read about and study. I guess in the New Testament, as far as just practical everyday things, as I've said so many times, Peter is my favorite character because so many times Peter does the same things that we do. And he was a disciple of the Lord. He was with him and he was saw many, many of the miracles, but yet still was very self-willed in his way, in his life. He's the spokesman of the group. And sometimes what he says is not always the way it should have been said. Sometimes not always what should have been said. But Peter's always there stating some things. And here we find he just comes out as these disciples have come together in verse number 1 and 2. And he just says, "I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee." So Peter was a leader of the group. He was that spokesman. And whatever Peter did, and most of the time they would follow suit and be with him. And so they said with him at this time, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So they go fishing, and there's nothing worse than going fishing and catching nothing. Those of you fellas that go fishing, when I went fishing, if I didn't catch something pretty quick, I wasn't fishing very long. And so they fished, and says here that that night they caught nothing. Verse number 4. "But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat?" Now the Lord didn't have to ask them that. He knew what had taken place. He knew they did not have any, but yet he calls to them, says, "Children, do you have any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, which that is John, saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all they were so many, yet was not the net broken. That's John's account in his gospel. And you come to the gospel of Luke chapter 5. You have what most people feel is the same account, a little bit different wording, a little bit different time frame given, but pretty much the same story. And if it's not the same time, at least it gives us the same message here concerning that. In chapter 5 of Luke, verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood on the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishers were gone out from them and were washing their nets. And they entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have caught and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, and which were in their other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Now Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we have two accounts, some of it very closely related, some of it a little different. But the message is given that they had gone out fishing, and they caught nothing. They come back, and the Lord sees them. He teaches from one of the ships there the people that had gathered. And then he tells them to go and to cast their net. And the same message is given: we have toiled or we have fished all night, and we have not taken anything in. I'm sure all of us can relate to that feeling of fishing a long time and not having anything to talk about, having nothing. And of course, these men, it's very important to them that they was to be able to catch fish, for that was their living. They were fishermen. And they've toiled all night. They've gone out. And Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And they say, "We're going to go with you." And so they go and they fish and toil all night, and yet they catch nothing. And the Lord tells them here in Luke chapter number 5, he tells them to launch out into the deep and draw the net for a draught. And Simon says, "Master, we've already done that. We've already taken those steps." But he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Nevertheless, at thy word. I entitled tonight what I want to be dealing with in these verses, and I just called it, "I will do what you ask anyway." Sometimes the Lord puts impressions upon our heart and we're not sure, and sometimes we have problems understanding what God is doing in our life. Circumstances come and circumstances go. Problems arise, difficulties come, settledness of heart comes, and then it leaves. And sometimes we're in a continual stir in our life, and we're just really not sure what the Lord is doing. And then when he gives us some kind of impression in our heart by the study of the Word of God, or the impression of what he gives to us through our prayer life, we'll say, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why you would want me to go here. I don't know why you'd want me to do this." But I believe we ought to have the same attitude that Peter had. And he said, "I'll go anyway. Even though I've toiled, even though I've done, even though I've struggled, at your word, I'm going to move as you have asked me to do." These miracles that are recorded give us insight to the Lord and who he is. Thomas, of course, is that one that later on doubted the Lord. And now he comes in the latter part, that he, after the resurrection, he sees the Lord and he believes. Thomas is listed there with them. And these men, they toil and they work and they struggle and they catch nothing. And the Lord said, "Go back out and do it again. Cast your net on the other side and go out and bring in a draught, or bring in a abundance of fish." These miracles are recorded in the Scripture. And of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke have and John have many of the many miracles that the Lord gives to us. We don't have the whole story. The Gospel of John tells us that we have just an overview of the life and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, if all the works of the Lord had been recorded, there world would not be able to contain the books and the volumes of the work of the Lord. And so it can only be left to our imagination what all the Lord did do and all the groups and the people that followed after him. But the miracles that we have recorded for us, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 that these things are given for our admonition. They're given to help us. They're given to instruct us. They're given to encourage us in our life. And Paul tells us that these things are to admonish us. And he, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So the things that we have in the Word of God are to admonish us to keep on keeping on. And even when we have the Lord tell us and instruct us to do things we don't understand, we ought to be like Peter and say, "Well, we'll do it anyway. We'll follow your word. At thy word we will go." Nevertheless, Peter is really saying in those words, he is showing doubt in his in the Lord, because he said, "We've already done it. We'll do it again. We've already gone. We've fished all night, but we've caught nothing. But nevertheless, we're going to do at your word. Just because you tell us to do that, we're going to do it." And that ought to be the attitude of every believer. Nevertheless, we shall follow. We will do, and we will do what he asks us to do. So we notice the Lord gets into Simon Peter's ship. It is his boat that he goes into, and he prays unto him to thrust out so that he can teach the word of God, in order that Simon would be able to see and to hear the message. And he says, "Now you go let down your nets for a draught." And of course, that draught meant, just simply means a large haul or a big gathering of fish into the ship. His teaching gave the people knowledge of whom he was, that he was in the work of God and the Son of God. And the teaching showed Peter, "You can believe what I tell you. You can depend upon the words of my mouth." And Peter said, "I will go, I will follow, nevertheless. I don't believe it's going to happen." I really believe that was the attitude that Peter had. "Nevertheless, you've told us, I've gone. We'll do it anyway, but we're going to come back empty-handed just like we did." Well, Peter's going to have an awakening to his heart. And he, as we read, he recognizes what a sinful person he was. He recognizes his doubt and his sinfulness. And we are, as a child of God, we are to believe and to follow the very words of the Lord. See, the Great Commission is given to the church in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 15:16, Acts chapter 1:11, and the different verses of Scripture. All the Gospels plus the book of Acts has the Great Commission. It's always in conjunction to the resurrection of the Lord, because until we had a resurrected Lord, we had no message to tell. Until Jesus arose from the dead, there was no gospel really to be preached. For he is the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You cannot have the gospel without all three of those elements. And so he tells us in the four gospels right after the resurrection, the Lord tells his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What a difficult task that seems to be. And it is a difficult task. From the time Jesus said that until the time that we're living right now, the world is to be evangelized. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be that instrument and that organism that goes out and to proclaim the gospel and to proclaim the story, to go to every nation, to baptize those that get saved. And he gives us the command here, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And then after that, we're to teach them to observe, literally to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has promised, he said, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world." And so we have a great task, and we look at it and we say, that's an impossibility. It's impossible to reach the whole world. Well, it may be impossible for one church to do that, but it's not impossible for the collective church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and to proclaim the message of salvation to everyone that would hear, and to the far corners of this word. And the Word of God has given us, and he is the He is that agent that we have to proclaim the salvation of the souls of men. This morning we dealt with the importance of grace and the activeness and how that grace works in our life in every situation. Tonight we look at the result of grace in our life as a believer is this thing called faith. Nevertheless, I will do it. Sometimes we do not believe. Sometimes we're doubtful. But because the Lord has impressed us, or because the Lord has given us words in His Word, therefore we know it is the Word of God. We believe it to be true, and nevertheless we will just try, and we'll try to follow the direction that God gives to us. Simon Peter had heard God's Word. Simon Peter had seen the work of the Lord. Now the Lord tells him, launch out into the deep. Get away from the shore. Get away from the easy part. Get away from that which is safe and secure. And he was informing the Lord. He said, well, I'll do it reluctantly, and I will follow you anyway, just like that the Scripture gives to us. And he says, I will do what you ask regardless. And I believe that ought to be the attitude of every Christian. Even though sometimes we're doubtful, even though sometimes we are fearful, if the Lord tells us to do something, guess what? We can do it. If God gives us leadership and guidance, we may not understand how, we may not know the end result of what's going to take place, but if God leads you to do something, then you can rest assured that if you follow His Word, He will give you ability to do what He asks you to do. I don't believe the Lord ever asks us to do things we cannot do. Sometimes we cannot do them because we lack faith. Sometimes we do not do them because we lack the ingenuity and the belief, and not having the attitude of Peter, we'll do it anyway just because you have told us to. And so now he has been ordered to go out into to the deep, and the Lord has promised him, you're going to catch fish. But he said, Lord, we've done that all night, and we've caught nothing. He said, but I'll go anyway. And may God help us tonight to have that same heart, that same spirit, that same attitude that whatever God wants us to do, we can do it. And it may be some things that we don't really want to do. Time goes, things change. And sometimes the Lord does things in our life that we really are not sure of why, and we're certainly not sure of how that He's going to take care of us. But we can rest assured that He is always there to help us. Many times we have to confess that we talk to the Lord and we have unbelief in our heart. And sometimes we just need to pray to the Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, you give me instruction. You help my unbelief. If you watch the lives of the apostles, and some of them are named here in Luke and also in John, you'll find that there were changes that took place in their life because of added faith to them. At many occasions, they were very fearful and doubtful. On many occasions, they were used and they were impressed not to do what the Lord wanted them to do. And the devil was active in their life just like he is our lives. And they were always trying to shield and trying to guard the Lord. And they told the little children, go, he doesn't have time. They would tell the blind and the halt and the lame that the Lord didn't have time for them, and Jesus had time for everyone that he come into contact with. And so these apostles, these disciples, there were some changes that took place in their life. They had received him in the very beginning as their Lord. They had received him as their Savior. I believe the apostles, these disciples, these 12, I believe that they were probably disciples of the Lord under the ministry of John the Baptist. The Scripture very clearly tells us some things along that line. And so they had heard the story. They'd heard the message. John came preaching repentance. John came and saying, there's one coming after me that I'm not worthy, but I'm not the Messiah, that there's one that's coming. And they heard the message, and they believed upon the Lord. They trusted Him. And then when the Lord came along, He called them into His work and His ministry. Peter cast away his fishing nets, and those others, they cast away what they were doing, and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the very beginning, like you and I, They had to come to an understanding that I need this Messiah. They marveled at the ministry and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard people say, we've never seen it in this wise. They had seen the hungry fed. They had taken up the fragments. And they had seen the sick raised off of the sick bed. They had seen Lazarus come from the dead. They had seen the many miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry. And they follow him, and the multitudes followed after him. You'll find it when they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were with him all the way until that night, and the Bible says they all forsook him. Again, their faith wavered and their faith was faulty. They came and they recognized there that day when Jesus died, they forsook the Lord, but yet when the resurrection story is given, they boldly began to proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the day of Pentecost, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ received the power to go into all the world, he gave them the orders to go. He gave them power in order to preach, and they preached after Pentecost with a great deal of different attitude. They had seen the resurrected Lord. And if you read their story, you read their life, they all died in the faith. And the account is given over and over in history of how they died. And they died as giants of the faith. Thank God it's all because of what Jesus showed them. They maybe did not understand it. They maybe was not able to comprehend all of it. But Peter said, I'll do it anyway. I don't understand. I don't know. It may not work. I don't have any idea. I really don't think it will work. Nevertheless, at your word. This word tonight that we have, sometimes we have to say, I'll do it anyway. I'll do it just because of what the Word of God says. There are things sometimes that we have to give up. There are things that we have to give over. There are things that we have to shy away from because of what the Word of God tells us as a believer. At thy word, his word is so very important. Launch out into the deep. Throw your nets out. Bring in the draught. We can trust God's word. We can trust him when all the enemy seems to come at us from every direction and every corner. Some of the psalms that are given to us in our Bible, some of those are David's cry unto the Lord because his enemies had come after him. He had seen his son. He had seen his family turn against himself and turn against the Lord. He had seen the enemies come after him, and some of the psalms are given to us and to realize that when the enemy comes, we can call upon the Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word. Psalm number 59 in verse number 1, David says, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. If you read the life of King David, you'll find that there was many that rose up against him. Many from his own group, many from his own family. They would rise up against him, and Absalom wanted to kill him, tried to kill him. And we find that David would have to write, deliver me from mine enemies. Oh my God, defend me from those that rise up against me. Deliver me. There's times that we have in our life that if God doesn't deliver us, we will not survive. Sometimes spiritual problems come into our life. If the Lord doesn't take over and if the Lord doesn't help, then we are shipwrecked. We are no longer. Sometimes there are physical problems that come to this body, and if we're not careful, we'll let those things. Anybody that says physical problems doesn't affect your spirituality, they just haven't had a whole lot of physical problems. Because physical problems affect us in our relationship, our fellowship, our dependence upon God, and we must realize that he will help us because he is our God. And so sometimes we have to call upon Him in the midst of physical problems, in the midst of struggles that come to us. When you have anything physically, we begin to think, Lord, are you there? Do you really listen? Are you really caring for me? All of us have gone through certain things, everybody. And if you haven't, you will. Man that's born of woman's of a few days and what? Full of trouble. It comes to all of us. But I'm so glad that the Lord can say, but I'm there with you. You do what I ask. You follow me. And we just have to say, nevertheless, at thy word. His word will defeat the enemy when he seems undefeatable. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Lord can lift up that standard. He can lift up that message and that bulwark that would be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. And in the New Testament, we do have the Lord telling us to put on the whole armor of God. And so when the enemy seems undefeatable, guess who can defeat him? Our God can. Our Lord can defeat those that would come against us. Sometimes circumstances seem insurmountable. Circumstances. What do you mean, preacher, by circumstances? Things that happen day by day, every day of our life, where we find ourselves in the midst of struggles, where we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty. Psalm 61, verse number 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. I'm glad tonight that we know that the Lord hears our prayer. He helps us. He delivers us from wickedness and from wicked ways. Attend or listen unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. Has your heart ever been overwhelmed? Has difficulty ever come and struggles come? Physical needs, spiritual needs, financial needs, all those things bombard against us. I'm glad we can call upon the Lord, and we know that from the ends of the earth I can cry unto thee, and my heart is overwhelmed. And then the psalmist says, you lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thank God tonight our rock is Jesus Christ. He is that one that we can go unto and we can fall upon and to realize He is there to help us. David goes on there in Psalm 61. He says, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. You've been my shelter. You've been my high tower. You've put me in the cleft of the rock for protection. You've put me in the tower so that I can look down upon my enemy and have that advantage. And David says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. He said, under your wings I have the shadow of the Almighty. Thank God tonight we have the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ just simply because He's there to help us. And when circumstances arise and difficulties come, thank God He's there. I was talking to some folks this afternoon, and we were talking about some problems that come to people. And I'm glad that whatever comes our way, my Lord knows where it came from. He knows how to take care of it, and He knows how to make it depart. I was talking to a lady today, and this family, and her daughter has a tumor, and she's very, very young as far as adult is considered, and it's in the brain, and it's inoperable. And I don't know how I would face that. I don't know what I would do if you have that message given to you. But who of us have not had the doctor tell us things that we did not want to hear? But thank God those circumstances can be handled by our Lord. They can be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give us peace in the time of storm. He can give us substance in our life, and that we can follow after him. We can trust the word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it anyway. We'll follow you anyway. When when defeat seems to be imminent before us, we can cry unto the Lord. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I believe David cried unto the Lord with his heart also. And there's times that come to us that we feel like we have nothing left. And the Lord says, but I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to do that. I want you to say this. I want you to talk to this person. I want you to have whatever it might be. And we say, Lord, I really don't have the strength to do that. And if we're not careful, in the midst of circumstances and struggles that come to us, we'll get to the point that we just don't want to do it. And that's that backslidden heart that we talked about this morning. But thank God for his grace, his mercy. And we can understand that when we feel like we are defeated, when we feel like it's all done, all you got to do is throw the dirt in, we're done. Thank God the Lord comes on the scene. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will move. We will do. We will go. We will say. You can trust God's word above all others' words. You can trust his word when circumstances come. You can trust his word when defeat seems to be there. You can trust his word when all human help is gone. Have you ever been to a point in your life that you felt like nobody could help? It's a good place to be spiritually, for us to realize and for us to know, I can't depend on mom or dad or brother or sister. I can't depend upon my friends. I can't depend upon my family. The only one that I can depend upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that will help me is he that has given us his word. David said, I looked to my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And David cries out in despair, no man cared for my soul. I don't know how you get any lower than where David was here. He said, I looked to the left, nobody there. David is in the realm of despair. He's by himself. He's defeated in everything that he saw. He said, refuge failed me. No one cared for me. Well, I'm glad we have the New Testament tells us that Jesus cares for us. I'm glad that God cared for David. God cares for me. God cares for you. Psalm 37, verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. That's that faith we're dealing with. Nevertheless, I'll do it anyway. I don't understand it, but I'll follow your word. I'll follow your direction. You can trust God's word when all hope seems to be gone. Sometimes the doctor will come in and says, can't do anything else. Hope's gone. Well, I'm glad tonight my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he can give to me those very things that's needed in my life. Job chapter 19, verse 10, he hath destroyed me on every side. I am gone. Mine hope hath removed like a tree. But then Job says later, I'm back. You know why? Because he believed God. The scripture says he didn't charge God foolishly. He stayed true unto the Lord. Happy is he that hath God, or the God of Jacob, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Our hope is not in men. Our hope certainly ought not to be in self. Our hope should not be in machines or circumstances. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He gives us grace on grace. And we experience that because we exercise that faith that he gives to us. I'm so glad that we can learn to trust him. Trust and obey, for there is what? No other way. Trusting him, obeying him. Peter said, I don't understand, but I'll do it anyway. I've already done that, Lord, but at thy word, I'll do it again. Sometimes we just have to do again and again and again at the word of our Lord. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 43, fear not. God says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. What a great promise that is. Isaiah, you don't have to fear. Next Sunday, we'll be in chapter 41 of the chapter of Isaiah in Sunday school. And part of that chapter tells us not to fear. And here he tells us in 43, Isaiah again says, fear not. He's telling Isaiah, do not fear. Why do we not fear? God says, I've redeemed you. I've made you whole again. I've brought you out of the marketplace of sin. I've set your feet on a solid rock. I've established your going. I've put a song in your heart. So you do not have to fear. I have redeemed you. I have called thee by thy name. And the best part of that verse is those last three words of that particular verse, thou art mine. Pretty good verse to depend upon when God says, you're mine. I'll take care of you. I'll handle the problems. I'll handle the circumstances. I'll handle the sicknesses. I'll handle the difficulties that come your way because you're mine. New Testament tells us that we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. Because we belong to Him. I belong, as a believer, you belong unto the Lord. Isaiah says, the Lord tells him there in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. What a great promise. When you go through the waters of difficulty, God says, Isaiah, I will be with thee. And though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God says in verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You belong to me. I'm your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Isaiah got the message, I do not have to fear. Because my Lord is with me and I belong to Him. Whatever comes our way, it doesn't take God by surprise, as we said this morning. We belong to Him. And whatever comes to us, God knows about that. God provides for that. God can remove it. God can prevent it. But if He does not, He can help us through it because He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we belong to Him. And one of these days, the Lord will call us home because we belong to Him. He'll call our name or He'll come and receive us unto Himself. Brother George said tonight, sitting out there, he said, I really thought we'd leave today, talking about the rapture. You know, we ought to feel that way. We may not make it through the night and really should be looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is put your eyes on the sky. Put your eyes toward the Middle East. Put your eyes on the world. Put your eyes upon the Word of God and what it tells us. And it's working itself out before our very faces. Jesus is coming. And until He does come, we need to have the attitude, I'll do it anyway. I don't understand. I've already tried. But I'll go ahead and do it nevertheless at thy word. I'll just do it anyway. May God help us to have that attitude, that heart. May the Lord help us to put that before the world in which we live, that we believe God, that we follow Him, and He is ours, and we are His. Let's stand together tonight.